Welcome to Foxhole Symphony, a podcast about the transformational value of men in authentic community.
In our Foxhole, men are equipped to build relationships that foster belonging, accountability, and growth.
Stop believing the lie that you can thrive in isolation and instead,
join us on the journey from broken to whole.
Hello, everyone. They call me the Maestro, and we are back in the Foxhole where we actively pursue belonging, accountability, and growth through authentic relationships. No masks, no agendas, just iron sharpening iron. Today, Steve and Mark are back in the Foxhole, each with a box of tissues and plenty of cough drops. They're not letting a cold slow them down. So pop a few immunity gummies and get your favorite notes app open. Here we go.
Hey, welcome back to Foxhole Symphony Podcast. I'm Sarge, here with my good friend and co-host, Mark.
Hey, bro.
Good to be back with you.
You too. I promise not to cough.
Yeah, we've been under the weather for a little while.
It's you'd never know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you would know. And listeners may know. They're going to hear it soon enough. So
what do these guys sound like?
You know, we're not going to edit out 6,000 of those.
No.
But we're going to do our best to hold the sniffles to a limit.
Correct.
And particularly because we've got a guest that we're real excited about today from the Midwest, who just got over being sick as well. So it could just be a cacophony of sniffles and, you know, throat clearings. But again, right, we're going to do our best.
They're all very manly things, though. You notice that?
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. How do you like that for a segue?
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's good.
Just working it hard to the manly stuff.
Yeah. Well, speaking of manly.
You guys want me to take my shirt off?
No.
Well, yes, you can. Oh, okay. You can do that.
Actually,
you can do that. It's
you can use it for a bandana if you want to. No one's going to see you.
Show.
Exactly. It could be. Now we know a little something about Brett's retreats. So if you want to know anything about the Iron Deep, retreats, you just heard.
That's how we roll. Yep.
Yeah.
No, thanks, guys, for having me on. Yeah, I was just, I wanted to do this joke. Hey, since we both all been sick, we might play a nice little sniffle symphony.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was good. That was good.
It was. Dad joke. We hit the cymbal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my nose whistled. So yes. There we go. We're already making music.
Perfect. We're off to a great start.
Oh, my goodness.
Brett, welcome to Into the Foxhole. We're really glad to have you.
No, thank you. Thanks, Sarge. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you being here. You guys are awesome. Man, it's just going to be fun.
It is. It is.
So wait.
Let's start. Could you just start us off by telling our listeners a little about yourself?
Yeah. No problem. So I'm Brett Snodgrass. I'm 43 years old. I live in a Fort Wayne, Indiana, Midwest guy. I was a basketball player growing up. My dad was a high school basketball coach, so that was a huge part of our life. You ever seen the movie Hoosiers?
Absolutely.
There you go. That was the Snodgrass house, for 23 years of my life.
Really?
It was.
Don't get me started with old movies. We'll go Hoosiers all day. I can do dialogue from that movie.
That's right. My dad, he was Norman Dale. I was Jimmy Chitwood. So,
love it.
I am married to my beautiful wife, Karen. We have four children, and my career for the past 17 plus years has been real estate. So I am the house flipper. If you ever watched HGTV, I do. Yeah. I do a lot of that. I flip houses and we do rental properties. And so I got a small team here in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's our market. And that's a little bit about me. I'm a Christian man, love the Lord. Gave my life to Christ when I was 30. I'm 43 now, so that was 13 years ago, and it's been a good ride. He's been good to me, so appreciate being here.
Awesome. That's great.
That is so cool. Yeah, so you know, obviously very accomplished in the real estate world, both personally as well as, you know, coaching others. I mean, we know that you've spent a lot of time, you know, teaching others how to develop real estate and build passive income through that as well. And you know, I'm sure there's lots of podcasts, and I know you've done lots of podcasts on that topic.
Yep.
But what we're most interested in is, you know, is your heart, of course, and what God has been doing over these last 13 years, and a little bit about your foxholes. I mean, tell us a little bit about Iron Deep. And then we can maybe fill some gaps. We'd love to hear more about your story and, you know, how God has brought you here.
Yeah. So again, I gave my life to Christ 13 years ago, got married just a couple of years after that. And let's fast forward. I've been around the real estate space for longer than that, 17, 18 years. I've been around a lot of accomplished people, guys that have chased success and chased wealth. These are conversations that in my mastermind groups in the real estate space, I've been around. I've done a lot of networking groups, done a lot of podcasts, interviewed a lot of real estate guys. And typically, you know, we're all trying to live this life of financial freedom. I mean, really, that's what it is. And we're using real estate as the vehicle to do that. So I've been around that. I've listened to a lot of the messages. I've, you know, followed a lot of those principles in the books, and I love business and I love building things and creating things. And I love real estate. It's been an amazing vehicle for my life, for freedom. But on the other hand, there's been a dark side to some of that. There's a dark side to leadership in some of these men's lives. I've been around groups where very accomplished, successful men might have a private thing going on in their life, the struggle that they never talk about, the secret war within, which did write a book on that as well. And I was at a mastermind group one time, and a guy had just had a divorce in his life and was going through a very dark time in his personal life. I remember he saying this. He said, "There's no amount of public success that can ever replace private failure." So that's something that stuck with me because I've been through some of the valleys of private. I have a child, actually, I had mentioned, but out of wedlock, had her when I was about 27. She's 16, almost 17 years old now. My wife and I have three kids together with her. So I have four, we have four total. But so anyways, I heard that particular message and just talking to other men, really God just kind of leaning on my heart with these business guys and, you know, how do we do business well? How do we lead well? How do we, you know, be men that are leaders that are known and that are successful? How do we do that well together and to live on mission and what's God calling us to? Really, that's where Iron Deep was born. It's this organization for business guys. We get together and we sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron. We go deep in relationship with him and each other, where the deep part comes in. And that was launched about a year ago, and I've loved it. It's been awesome. I think it's been a need for the guys that have been to some of our events. And that's where I see my life, my life's mission heading, just really pouring into these guys, that are successful, that don't have a space that they can be real in many circumstances. So yeah,
I love it.
Really, there's so many nuggets in there. Let me start.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Really, that's helpful. Have not read your whole book, but read just enough to be dangerous. The allegory and Nolan, and just I want to first, you kind of slid it in there, but Brett has written a book called The Secret War Within, an allegory by Brett Snodgrass. So we're happy to promote that with you and for you. I'm really curious, noting the common denominators. I want to kind of throw something out there. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on. And the business part of what you've described is something all men have in common. The 99.9% of us have a job, right? We have the business struggle, whatever it is, whatever you do, whether you're an actuary and have no stress whatsoever, or you're a sales guy like me who gets paid on compensation and have inherent stress for 50 years in your life, right? but we have this business foundation, common denominator. The part that I think differs for all men is the level of depth. You use the word deeper several times in just your opening comments. The book talks about deeper, the foxhole, right? And victorious together, belonging, accountability, growth. We seek depth, right? And with it, the inherent risks that come with it. So I'm going to go back to your character in your book, Nolan. Who does Nolan represent, if you don't mind me asking? Because I know there's a connection there.
Yeah. That's probably why I went the allegory route instead of maybe the nonfiction route. Nolan has a lot of experiences of, like myself, was able to write a story with a lot of my own personality, and Nolan has lived through some of my life. He's a real estate developer, very, you know, has reached a a stage in his life of success. So a lot of myself, but the cool thing about the allegory was he is not me. And I really had to come to grips with that. Even, you know, when I was talking to my writing mentor that helped go through this, they had to constantly tell me that Nolan is not you.
Right.
He's gonna be his own character. He's gonna do different things than you do. So not everything that Nolan does in this particular book is something that I've done. It's funny that even people that have been closest to me, like my father, my dad, as soon as he wrote the book, people assume, oh, Nolan is you. I didn't know that you did that. Or I didn't know that I did that to you, because there's a father in the particular book. And I was like, you know what, Dad, Nolan's not me and you're not the father. Right. So I had to really, you know, point that out. But really Nolan is, you know, really the avatar of a man, that has a lot of the characteristics of myself, a lot of my listeners, is a driven man. He wants to win, which I think all men do, right? We all love to win. We all want to succeed, and not only to succeed, to be recognized for that. We all want to be remembered, you know, at some level. And Nolan wants to do that. And he has placed most of his life in that, chasing after that, his efforts, his resources to reach success and to be known for it. But maybe he's misplaced a lot of that. He's put everything that he has into that. And then he reaches this point where he realizes, which many men do, what is all of that for?
Sure.
What does it mean? It doesn't give me the level of satisfaction that it once did when I was 29. And he's wrestling through some of these questions, and he has some of these secrets within, which many men do. And you talk about the level of depth that Nolan would never talk about these certain things going on in his life that he's trying to hide. He doesn't want anyone to know. But the cool thing about the allegory is that we get to see it, and we get to see Nolan going through these things and struggling through these things. And I think that's really why it resonates with men, is we get to really pull back the curtain in his life. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, I struggle with some of those things, and no one knows that I do either, except for this book, right?
Right. And thank and you. Go ahead, finish.
No, I was just saying, and I think that's where I think the rubber hits the road is that it really reveals some of the secrets within a man's heart, that they get to see someone really struggling with it. I think after they read it, you're like, well, how did they know? And maybe now it's okay for me to talk about this stuff too.
There you go.
Which is really what Iron Deep comes in with what you guys are doing comes in. It's like, you know, men need to have a space to talk about these things, that I'm struggling with it, but I want to grow. I want to have breakthrough through these different things. And that's really why the book was written. So
yeah. I love it. And thank you. I had no preconceived notion about when I ask who it represents, because I don't know you well enough. So I didn't stick your face into that role, but the notes in the back of your book talk about going men who want to go beyond success. Mm. And so let's, kudos for the success in 43 years, right? You've reached, I think you almost said the word pinnacle, and that's fine. That you've reached a stage where you want to pivot to where it isn't about height anymore, right? It isn't about growing your fortune necessarily, although we all kind of like to continue to grow our fortune.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right.
Because it's fun to play games. I mean, men love to play games, right? Amen. And it's just like, it's all, at the end of the day, the raising the fortune, and but it's just kind of a game at the end of the day. And we like it. We like it's fun.
Fun to win. It's fun to win.
Yeah.
Right. And so then the book talks about, and you've talked about, living out your most fulfilled life. And I'm really curious for you. Let's put the book just on the bullpen for a second. What, just describe that. What does living your most fulfilled life, or for the men in your experience, in your weekends that you're doing with Iron Deep, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's it mean to you?
Yeah. Well, number one, I think for most men, you know, the thing that they're searching for and the way we were designed, which again, really the book pinpoints on that, the allegory characters that Nolan meets as God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we were designed to be in relationship with our designer. So I think, you know, for me and what I always talk about with Iron Deep, you know, from that perspective and that biblical worldview is that it starts with that relationship with our Creator, with our Father. And what does that look like? And how do you do life with Him? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what Nolan is missing. And I think that many men, even as Christians or non-Christians, but even as Christian men, they said, okay, I've given my life to Christ. But how do I do life
what now?
Like that? I know the boxes I need to check, but how do you walk in intimacy with Him? And mm-hmm. these are questions that I'm always asking even myself. What does that look like? So I think it starts there. And then God designed these amazing things in our life that sometimes we corrupt, but for me, He's given me the blessings of to be in relationships with people and this family unit that He's blessed me with. What does that look like? How do I do that well? How do I lead that well with the family unit design? So just digging into that and going deeper with the vision that He created for family. So that's something always digging into.
Sure.
And then for me, again, it goes back to how was I designed? How was I uniquely designed?
Yeah.
And what do I do with that? Like, what talent did He give me or what treasure did He give me? And what do I do with that? What is He calling me to, and how can I use that for His glory? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that, that we can go through some other different things of living that fulfilled life. But it's really, you know, how do I build intimacy with Him? How do I build intimacy and depth with other people, starting with my family? And then from there, what is he calling me to? What does He want me to do with my design?
Yeah.
I think at the end of Beautiful. The day. And when He can figure that out, that's fulfillment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's like, and then there's everything else, right? Because I think, you know, to put maybe different words to what you're saying that really resonate, words that we use all the time, right? And it's, you know, it's who am I? And who am I really, right? Who am I in Christ, right? What's my identity? Number one. Number two, you know, what roles has God placed me in, right? And so, and how does who I am, you know, impact those roles, right? And relationships. And then lastly, why am I here, right? How does God mm-hmm. want me to use it? What's my mission? Why has God given me breath, right? Mm-hmm. Uniquely to help build His kingdom and join Him at work. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, if you have clarity on those three things, the fulfilled life is not far away, right? I mean, it is. Then you're just, you know, you're just floating in the rivers of His grace and mercy and mm-hmm. direction. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not about building our kingdom anymore, right? And so, you know, as it goes back to success, you know, we just had a guest on, Chris Bruno, from out in Colorado, phenomenal counselor and author, wrote an incredible book.
I've read his books.
Have you read Sage? I don't know if you've read Sage.
I've read The Man Maker.
Yep.
Sage is a book. Yeah. The second season.
Yep. And so we're touching on a lot of that, right? Like what happens, you know, that first half of life and now the second half of life, which you know, you're approaching and I'm in
and
Mark's well into, I mean,
he's
very
season.
Old. He's very old, very elderly here.
Why are you so old?
Yeah.
No, I mean wise. He's a wise cracker for sure. So, but you know, that's what we're touching on, right? Like those things that are important to us and those stages that we go through in that first half of life only to find, wow, none of this is really fulfilling, right? Mm. It's stuff that God allows us to do, that God invites us into, but it's not really what it's all about, right? And then it's looking back, reflecting on all of that and saying, okay, now how does that inform, you know, and really the roles God's placed me in now, and how might he use it all for his own glory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it just goes back to, again, I think the one of the big themes of the book even was what you touched on, Sarge, is what kingdom are you building? Like, we're all building a kingdom.
Yep.
We all desire to build a kingdom. And is it your kingdom or not your? And the one guy told me that one time, he's like, there's basically, there's two different kingdoms. There's God's kingdom and then not God's kingdom. Which one are you going to build?
Yep. Yep.
And I think, we just reached this point where, I want to build God's kingdom, but my flesh struggles with that. Just like Paul, he struggles with that, right? Where you want to be known still, and you want, to be liked and people to know certain things.
Yeah. That's just it, right? It's those things that we want, or even dare I say need, in order to think we'll receive fulfillment, but they're dry wells, right? They never lead to fulfillment. It's, you know, how much affirmation is enough? You know, how much money is enough? How much fill in the blank is really enough? Who can answer that? You know, I love asking that question to men. You know, whatever it is they need. Well, okay, how much will be enough that you can then, you know, stop building your backup plan or your own kingdom or chasing after this, you know, going back to this dry well, like a dog returns to his vomit, right? Mm-hmm. Versus what does it look like to find healing for whatever it is that's causing that need to bubble up day in and day out so that we can move on. And that's no longer the need, right? Still might feel good, but it's no longer the need driving us, right, to build whatever it is we're building, to get the attaboy or to get the check or to get the, right, the XYZ, versus it's no longer about me and my needs. In fact, Psalm 23, I have all that I need, right, from the shepherd. And, you know, now what is it you need, Lord? What is it you want? And how can I be used by you, right? And being that vessel, no longer driven by our own needs, right?
Yeah. No, I love that. I'm going through a series right now, and you guys have probably heard of Experiencing God.
Yes.
We know it well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Blackaby. Good. Yeah. Yeah. We just talked about that actually in a recent episode.
Yeah.
And you know, we're touching on how much that study shaped our journey 15 years ago or so, 20 years ago.
Right. What are you learning there, Brett?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the thing that touched on that I've been like hitting at more is many times we want God to partner with us. With what we're doing. Like, God bless this because this is what I want to do. So can you bless it, whether it's a business or family or whatever it is, instead of asking the question, God, what do you want? Because I want to partner with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Something that I've been talking about, you know, I've been talking about, thinking about, praying through, reflecting on, and we can just get into that trap. And it's funny how, like, even when we start something like an Iron Deep, for example, God, you're calling me to this. This is the direction. We take our time and we listen and then we do it. Mm-hmm. And we do it an event or a couple of events. And then people start praising you for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your perspective goes, it just starts to shift in because your flesh starts to bubble up too. And you're like, oh yeah, I know. I am doing good, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
And you have to constantly remind and pray through that. Yeah. And no, I'm partnering with what you're doing. What else do you want to do? I don't know. You know, so anyways, these are some of the things I'm going through, even as you know, just through life, with Iron Deep, with the book, anything, like, you know, even the book, right? You get one, you have no idea how this is going to turn out. You put, you bear your soul into it in your closet for 6 months or a year and no idea how people are going to respond. And then you get a couple of positive responses and like, okay, I got this, you know,
let's go.
So not, it's been interesting.
We have peeled the onion back so far on experiencing God that I've said this before on the air. I don't have a problem saying it again. But the annoying part for me, the toughest part about inviting God into my stuff is myself and men that we've experienced together in this work that we do for God, where I give thanks to God for things that I've invited him to after I'm already done. I make sure I achieve my goal and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And, you know, hallelujah. right? And it's the most disingenuous crap that I don't do it anymore, but it is one of those things that we find that men are really good at is thanking God after the fact. And if you're going to build your identity in Christ, then the only way to do it is to start with it. My friend here sitting next to me is in a process now where, you know, I'm watching him grow through constantly all day, every hour, asking God, what do you want for me? What do you expect of me? Where do you need me? What should I be doing? Where should I, right? What's next for me? And that's a question that has a lot of risk for men.
Yeah.
So as we go deep, whether you're iron deep or you're in a foxhole or wherever the other men are gathered, our Barn Brothers and Band of Brothers and everybody else out there, we're asking these hard questions. This is why we do this. It's not the, we're not at 30,000 feet. We're about 4 feet, you know? And we're asking tough questions, risky questions with men that have a heart to do that and say, it's worth it.
And can I ask you guys a quick question?
Sure.
Just on that, and not to take us down a rabbit hole, but another thing is I've listened to, I've even been a part of some non-faith groups where, again, they're seeking the same things: purpose, meaning. They want to be good dads. They want to be good men. But they just take God out of it, right?
Sure.
At the end of the day. But they also have the formula. And so I want to ask you guys the formula to fulfillment. A lot of them come with the formula: do this, stack the habits, right? Grateful, the journal, great things.
Sure.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah. Throw it all in the trash. Not to be crass. not to be crass. But I just, like, you know, when you talked about intimacy with God, right? Like, there's no formula, I don't believe, for intimacy with God. And I'm not poo-pooing spiritual disciplines. I am a big believer in spiritual disciplines. We are big believers in spiritual disciplines. I'm a big believer in rest and retreat, in embracing solitude, which is something I've been learning to do this year. And God has stretched me to the end of myself in that and blessed it, you know, in prayer, in devotion, in Bible reading, all of these things, very, very important. The danger in the formula is checking the boxes, because God is so much more interested, I believe, in our approach of him, or, you know, in our pursuit of him, in our act of surrender, than our behavior. And so I think it is drastically different for every one of us how and when God is going to meet us, based on all of that, right? Based on our relationship with him, our communion with him, the circumstances of our lives, and how and when we decide to invite him into those. Right? It's just so different for each of us. And so I really push against the formulas. I really do. And I think, unfortunately, all of those men desiring to be good dads, desiring to be great husbands, praise God. But what happens when the crap hits the fan?
Mm-hmm.
That's the million-dollar question, because it will. And I'm mm-hmm. so much more, which is why I'm so much more interested in a man's suffering and failures and trauma than I am his successes, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's in his suffering where God usually shows up, right? I mean, that's when it's like, yo, baby, this is going to be good. Everybody sit back and watch what God's going to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and versus, you know, oh, you got to just X, Y, Z, right? The advice circle. Well, you got to mm-hmm. just, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you doing this? You just need to get your act together. You just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It has to be on your own strength. Take God out of it. Who's going to mm-hmm. fix it? You have to.
Right.
Well, do you want me to get the hammer and duct tape and we can go down that rabbit hole? I may have showed you this before, Brett, when we talked to you, but we actually have a real hammer and a roll of duct tape here on the podcast desk because it reminds us, don't fix, stop, let.
We can't fix anybody.
Right. It's God's job. Right. Right? So let's give a shout out to two or three fundamental steps for as part of the formula that we hate. There are a couple of things that men need to do. That is, mm-hmm. you need to be in the Word. We all agree. Mm-hmm. There's that. Yes. Mm-hmm. You need to gather, you need to belong in a group mm-hmm. that will hold you accountable. Check. I think you need to do those things. And then everything else you say.
Can I push back a little bit?
No.
No, I'm gonna.
Okay.
I'm gonna. Like, no, because here's the deal.
Get the duct tape.
I'm not suggesting that those things aren't critically important and and valuable. But if I'm on a deserted island with no Bible,
right,
and no people. If I'm Tom Hanks what was his name? If I just had
Castaway,
in Castaway, right? can I find intimacy with God?
Sure,
absolutely.
Anything's possible with God.
Absolutely,
but you're bringing up a totally unrealistic situation.
What do you mean? It happened.
We're men of community. We're here.
Happened in Castaway.
Right. Okay.
No, I know we are, but here's why I'm pushing back. Here's why, truly,
go ahead.
In my heart of hearts. Before this year, I listen, we bang the drum of authentic community,
every day.
That you can't do it alone, and I don't think you can thrive in isolation. However, I've learned this year how deeply I could connect with God on my own.
Mm.
I get that.
And so I needed to almost. Right. You know, needed to.
And that intimate personal relationship is what a sage, I think, learns. I'm not saying you can't. Okay.
Yes.
So we're totally in agreement.
We are aligned.
There are, for me, I'd like anyone listening to realize that we've agreed to just talk about what we've experienced. And what I've experienced is when I turned my face to the Bible 6 years ago, and I started meeting in the Band of Brothers for reasons other than my own, my life changed.
I mean, I'm all about togetherness, brotherhood. Iron Deep is all about brotherhood, coming together, worshiping God together, sharpening each other. Mm-hmm. But if that's the only thing you're doing, and I think it just goes back to what is your heart posture. Mm-hmm. If you're going to the brotherhood, to as a social circle, but your heart isn't changing and you're not on your own purposeful pursuit of that intimacy with God, then it's not going to help.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when you came to the Band of Brothers, your heart posture sought it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Some people even come to the Iron Deep, they just want to come and hang out with guys, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to change if you just come there and hang out with guys. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, this is cool, but they're not going to go home and do it on their own.
Right.
So I think it just comes back to the reasons, the meaning, the heart posture of it all. And so men can seek, you need both. And I think it just depends on that season of your life. Some men just need to get in their closet and pursue and to spend time with their father. And that's what they need. Yeah. Some men have been doing that and they need the community.
Praise God that there's men that show up that just want to be with other men. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Hopefully they see the Spirit of God in others. They see the heart change, the transformation in other men, and go, well, wait a minute. Now, you know, I want that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And praise God. Just keep coming. Keep coming. Yeah. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Right.
And then hopefully you'll go home and get in your closet.
Exactly. Exactly. Or come to the end and of open yourself. Your word. Right. Hopefully.
And I think the word, and I totally agree, you know, the word, reading the word, and in order to know him, you have to, again, listen, mm-hmm. pray, and but then know what he says.
Yes. Yes.
So you got to study, right? So I think it's all very, very important. But I think, again, is what's the motive behind it? Is it a box? Did that? Done.
Yep.
Or is it, I want you, I need you, I want to grow today in relationship with you. Yeah. And is that the reason?
So, yeah. Amen. It's interesting, something about reading the word, right? I yesterday was in conversation with someone and I'm talking to them and I'm talking about, you know, this sort of season in my life that I've been in this year and just kind of recapping it. And I'm just speaking from my heart. And they looked at me and they're like, you literally just recited Psalm 40. And I'm like, really? That's unbelievable. And he's like, no, go read it. And I did. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. Why? Because the word gets planted in our hearts, right. Gets planted in our hearts and grow. And so, and what God did is not just through the reading of it, but the meditating on it, the spending, you know, 5 weeks, you know, in solitude, spending 2 hours every morning, you know, just listening for God and reading the Psalms and listen and hearing from him and, you know, getting clarity, gaining wisdom, understanding more of his character. And then all of a sudden I'm reciting Psalms that I don't even know I'm reciting. I'm just talking about what's flowing out of my heart. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Like only God mm-hmm. can do that. Mm. Right.
And by the way, anyone who's listening, if someone comes up to you and tells you the last few sentences you spoke have come out of the word.
Yeah.
Dance right there. Stop what you're doing. Yeah. And start dancing.
Well, it did. It did bring, right. It did. It did bring me joy.
Celebrate that.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a common,
no.
You know,
it's
thing in my life. Not. Are you kidding me? No. You know, how many people in my life have said, oh, you're just, yeah. Wow. You just quoted. Really?
Just walk around saying in the beginning. Oh yeah. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know, that's the again, that intimacy with God where that deep, iron deep connection, you know, with the Father where, you know, that's what's flowing out of our hearts. Wow. Yeah. Mm. More of that. Mm. More of that.
So Brett, while you're just thinking about this, Sarge, I have to tell you when you told me that, you sent the text and told me about that. I was so envious for a moment because we're finishing this 1 year Bible reading plan and it's read the Bible in a year. Well, guess where you are in the last 2 weeks? Revelation. So Sarge is quoting Psalm 40 and I got bowls and serpents and beasts.
Hang on. Just to toot your own horn. It just goes to show how far we got. Okay. Yeah. You're in Revelation. I'm in the Psalms.
So I'm thinking Psalm 40. Awesome. I had to look it up. I'm like, damn, I'd rather be where he is right now. Because I don't understand a word of what John is talking about.
Halfway through the year when I realized it was never going to happen, I started talking about how it's not that important to check the box. I'm like, listen, it's presence over production, okay? This is what Chris Bruno would say.
Yeah. I need to check all 360 boxes. You know me. Man. Brett,
gotta follow the rules.
Brett, I'm going to take a left turn. In a few of the articles that you sent with your book, it talks about the iron deep men, one of the principles, we prioritize significance over success, even though we love success. And I said it with that affect because that's what I heard. And I really would love for you to unpack that for us. Could you please?
Yeah, definitely. So number one, again, as I mentioned before, I've been in kind of the business world about men who love to produce and to create and to build. And I think that, again, comes from the way I was designed. I love that. I love to create and achieve, to accomplish. And it doesn't have to be monetarily either. It could be anything, any project. I love to accomplish it, to achieve it. And some I'm around a lot of men that love that. We love that arena, to take something from nothing and to create something, whatever it is, building a house, building a business, doing a podcast, you know, whatever that is, take something out of nothing and doing something with it. So we love that. Very driven types of men are at Iron Deep. So again, and I think a lot of men can relate. We love to chase. We love to conquer. We love to win. And it could be money. It could be the girl, whatever, the princess, you know, rescuing. I don't know. Whatever it is, we love to do that. But we prioritize significance over success. And again, maybe it's, you know, you reach this point where you just start to ask these questions of why does it matter? So maybe God has designed us this way. We've reached a certain level. Maybe we have a platform, but at the end of the day, what are we going to do with it? Why does it matter? How is it going to be impactful? How is it going to bring him glory? What are we going to do with it? So many men, they accomplish these things, they chase these things, they reach them, but it's all for their self-glory. It's all so they can live life on their terms, right? That's the words that we love to use. I want to build financial freedom so I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want, so I can live life on my terms. And even saying that sounds kind of like gross and disgusting, like, and it sounds very self-consuming and self-glorification. So really, you know, we come together at Iron Deep and we want to be significant, not really for our own terms, but we want to do it for his glory. You know, how are we going to use the success, the platform to impact people's lives for the kingdom? What does that even look like? And it goes back to, again, our assignment, our mission. What are we going to do together to bring that? So that's where we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about identity. The book is a lot about identity because we misplace our identities into typically what we do as men, and forget who said it, but it was said that, like, we're the first culture in history that men completely define themselves by their careers, right? We completely define ourselves. There was a guy named Jeremy Pryor that he wrote a book. I think it's called The Family Revision. And he said this, this is like the only time in history that a man can be successful at business, leave his family in ruins, and still be considered a good man.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing, right? Amazing.
Stuff, that, like, stuff like that.
Yeah. That should frighten us, right? I mean, that should frighten us. That's earth shattering stuff.
So I think one of the things we talk about identity is we can still do these things. Like, I'm still a real estate investor. I still love to build and create, and I don't have to go completely somewhere else and do something completely different, but that's just what I do sometimes. Yeah. It just doesn't define who I am.
Yeah.
And I think if we start to flip the script on that, it changes everything.
Sure.
So one of the things you guys talked about earlier was how much is enough, and you can fill in the blank with whatever that is. And I have struggled with that. How much is enough money? How much is enough success? And I've really struggled with that. Because a lot of the times I'm looking at it for my own glory. Like, how much is enough for Brett? Like, I don't need that much.
Yes.
But when I start to say it's all his and it's all kingdom, and it's all going to that anyways, right, then I'm like, it just changes the, I'll make whatever. If I make a ton, $1 billion, and it goes for that, like, it's just more impact, more significance for the kingdom. It just changes everything.
You're touching on something I was thinking as you were going through those, some of those questions, you know, the why, right? Why we do it, the, what, you know, what are we going to do with it? The, you know, and, you know, there's a guy that we know from many years ago, and Mark Man Weekends used to say with his, you know, thick Boston accent, who you doing it for? Who you doing it for? You know, and I, you know, I loved that. I'm like, yeah. You know, that's one of the best questions I think we can ask. Like, who? The who question. You know, 'cause it's not just the why, but who are we doing it for? Is it for me or is it for him? Right? Mm-hmm. And man, asking that question day in and day out, even in every interaction, right? In our business, in our family, in our relationships, who are we doing it for? When that, all of a sudden, when that becomes the sole motivation of our heart, right? Wow. That's a game changer. It's a game changer.
Like, I love humility, like just the word. I think it's the greatest virtue. Obviously, the most humble, Christ humbled himself on a cross, a criminal's death. And, you know, I talk about humility at Iron Deep, and how, what would it look like if we could put, again, him before us, or even you guys before me? And we talk about success, and like, what would it look like if I could literally have a heart posture that I actually care about your guys' success more than my own? Mm. And I could celebrate that and genuinely celebrate it.
Yeah.
Like, what would that look like?
Yeah. Right. What does that look like? That,
I'm
just
here,
saying, but that is the heart of the most humble.
Yes.
And can we get there? You can only get there through intimacy with the Father. So.
Amen.
That question is obviously God's answer to me. I'm sitting here thinking, should I ask him this question? And I'm like, nah, just let it go. We'll do it in like phase two. But I'm going to ask anyhow. In your experience in Iron Deep and in life, what would you say to the listeners and men out there who think like I did for many, many years, well, it's easy to give your heart to God once you made all your money, your success. Mm. Oh yeah, you prioritize significance over success. Well, when the equation is I've already got my success, mm-hmm. it's very, very different when you're living hand to mouth and struggling to pay your bills every month and just making it. Mm-hmm. Your vacation mm-hmm. is a staycation, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. how would you address men who look at life with that lens? That is mm-hmm. easier for you guys to say. You've reached a stage in your life where you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good.
Have you run into
that's
that?
Good. Yeah. Yeah. I think I go back to the verse, you know, when Paul's just talking about just start studying, you know, I've lived with abundance. I've lived with so much. I've had abundance and success and all and recognition and all these different things. And then I've lived in prisons and chains and not with nothing. And it's all just mere rags, for the sake of, you know, with Christ. And you guys can probably relate to this too. And I've lived somewhat my life in those ways. I've had nothing and I've had a lot. That stuff doesn't change like my heart, honestly, even like some of like my fulfillment. Have I had some highs where like, yeah, that's really cool, 'cause I did that or you know, maybe we reached something where we've done that. But at the end of the day, you know, like you said, Sarge, it's very temporary.
Yeah.
It doesn't last my fulfillment. The only thing that if I consistently show up, you know, with God in my life. So, you know, I get it. It, you know, outside looking in, it does look like, you guys have it made. You can say that now because you have a certain level of success. Mm-hmm. And I just try to put my, I always try to put myself in the other, and then the other shoes, that if it was all lost,
yes,
and if it was all stripped away, sometimes intimacy with God becomes sweeter. Like you, yes. You even think they said that, Sarge, when you are dependent.
Yeah.
It is.
And I, it's where my head went as well, because, you know, it's almost the wrong question, right? It's neither this nor that, like you said, from Paul, right? It's like, you know, I've had it all and, you know, it didn't impact the joy of my, you know, my life, the joy of the Lord, right? I've had nothing and it didn't impact the joy of the Lord that I have. So like, you know, and we, you know, I'll speak for myself. I have lived this. I mean, you've walked this with me, yep, multiple times in my life, having lost nearly everything, right? We have a dear brother right now that's facing, you know, that's, you know, had material success, mm-hmm, and one wrong turn in his truck and, you know, bad accident, and he is facing losing everything.
Right.
Mm. And the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and what God is showing him through this. And we've been walking together through this with very different circumstances in our lives, but there's this common thread, and we are, it's amazing the journey that God's got us on in this, mm-hmm, and the in these moments of suffering and coming to the end of ourselves, where God's showing us, oh yeah, you like your backup plan?
Right.
Yeah.
Now that you have one?
Now that you've got one, yeah, right? And well, and so right, those guys, like, listen, we think there's guarantees. Like, I've got XYZ in my 401k. Do you? I mean, you might today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
stock market.
You know, I mean, listen, even there's just no guarantees.
No, and I brought that question with an answer in my head. What worked for me, I was one of the guys asking that question 20 years ago. And mm-hmm, what I learned, and took me a long time, was I learned that question is born from the world infecting me with, yeah, its judgment system.
Yes.
God, mm-hmm, does not judge.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a scoreboard, an abacus, a calculator, yeah, none of the above.
Which yeah, is why the guy that's had success, I want to ask him, I don't want to hear about the success. Tell me about your failures.
I get it.
Tell me about the suffering. Tell me about what God did in your heart throughout your journey. I want to hear your story, man.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear about how you made the money you made.
Right.
That's really not of all that much interest to me. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the, you know.
Right.
The valleys. Tell me about when you are utterly broken at the end of yourself, because I would be willing to bet there's probably a bunch of those stories in there if you've actually had some success in your life.
And it's funny how, like, we look at people in that light, like in the worldly light, that we put them somewhere on this chart,
right,
if they're successful.
Yes.
Even people on the podcast that I've interviewed on the podcast, like, I'll have somebody versus someone else. Like, you know, I think I had a billionaire on the podcast, and I was like, and the world came out of me right before the show. And I was like, man, like, I don't know what to ask this dude.
Yeah.
Like, this guy has everything. And then God just kind of said, this guy, he's just a man.
Right.
See him how I see him.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I think if we can just see men and women as God sees them and start to have his eyes, oh man, it's a cool thing. So
that's, yeah, a great ripple. I like that. Well, we're going to have to start winding this up.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah. 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 No, definitely. No, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. I love what you guys are doing. If I can be of any support to you, we're all in this with a singular purpose,
yeah,
and there's no competition, and we, you know, we can all bring him glory. So thank you guys so much for allowed me to be on the show. So number one, The Secret War Within. Yeah. I mean, the best way to really support the book is just to go to Amazon and get the book and then leave us a 5-star review. We've had a lot of great response. If you're a man or a woman have even resonated with this too, that it just hits home with them. Yeah. It's a very short read. It's a fictional allegory style of a book. I think that you'll get something out of it. I would love to just hear what you get out of it. As far as Iron Deep goes, if you're a man and you know you're in that business world, and you're looking for just other men to relate to or having events, we typically start off with a 3-day intensive retreat. We do about one of those per year. So we're going to have one coming up in 2024. You can get all that on our website, irondeep.com. We're also doing some other events. Guys want to bring a spouse. So we're toying around with doing an event around that. And one of our main missions is to build those tribes or those small groups of 10 to 12 guys that really want to do life together. You know, just like probably some of what you guys are doing, we grow. Number one, three areas that we really focus in on is our faith. Definitely start off there. Our families and our deep relationships. And then we do talk about business and try to grow our business in a kingdom way. So
awesome.
If you're interested in that, irondeep.com is where to go.
Awesome. I love it. I love it, man. Some awesome resources. And so, you know, we're always encouraging folks to check out all the resources and what resonates with them. Right. And there's a sort of, you know, God's rainbow of choices out there, right. To yes. get plugged in. And, you know, there's literally no excuses because there's just countless opportunities. And that's what we try to do here is highlight them and say, hey, how about this? How about this? How about you like chocolate, vanilla, pistachio? What's your flavor here? And we just love what you're doing. We're big fans and we're excited for what God is doing through you, Brett, and through Iron Deep and the book. And boy, we just encourage you and want to cheer you on to keep going. And we'll be watching and would love to have you back sometime to just report on, you know, what God is doing in the ministry and in your life. And so thank you for being on. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. No, thank you guys. Sarge, Mark, we appreciate your friendship. And yeah, I'd love to just hear more about how I can support you. So thanks again.
Great to have you in the foxhole.
Yeah, happy new year, Brett. And listeners, happy new year. Glad that you're with us. And be sure and check out all of Brett's resources. It's listed right in the podcast notes. So check it out. And thanks for listening. God bless you.
All right.
Peace.
I'm inspired to hear how God is using Brett in his local community. Seems to be a recurring theme in this broken world. God is calling his faithful sons to step out, take the masks off, and build these micro communities that have him at the center. I love the challenge from Brett. What would it look like if we acted in selfless ways to the people around us? What if we helped for the sake of helping? Not to see what I can get in return, not for the accolades or the admiration, but to see you achieve a goal, finish a mission, and celebrate your victory. How many men would be impacted? And not only the men, how many lives would be impacted if we step out in true God-honoring humility? I know you might think I sound like a broken record. Sorry, not sorry. If you are not in a foxhole of some sort, it's time to find one. They're everywhere. If you got it all figured out, great. Go find a foxhole and see how God wants to use you and grow you. Lord, please continue to use this podcast to impact the lives of all who listen. I ask that you would bring hope and healing to each and every one of them, Lord. Meet them right where they are and reveal yourself to them like only you can do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it and invite others to the Foxhole. You can find us wherever you download your favorite podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you know when new episodes drop, and please rate us and comment there too, as it'll help us get found by others who could benefit. Find, follow, and like us on your go-to social media networks by searching Foxhole Symphony or visit foxholesymphony.com to make it super easy to find us. Drop us a line with feedback, questions, topic requests, who knows? Maybe you'll be a guest on a future episode. In the meantime, prepare to move, embrace discomfort, and just be you.